Well, good morning, everybody. Excited to be with you. I did speak with Greg yesterday morning, and he wanted me to make sure to tell everybody that they're so disappointed they couldn't be here. All the plans to be with us this morning, and definitely I miss not being home. They're looking forward to getting home, and just wanted to make sure that shared that. Misses everyone, and looking forward to getting back to the family here at Northland. So last I heard is that they were due to take off this morning and start their way back a couple days late. They had some delays and things like that, but I believe they are working their way back, and so it'll be great to be with them. Greg will be back next week, so we'll have an opportunity to hear him share and also speak in the series that we're on. I'm going to ask the ushers to go ahead and take up the offering, and as they do that, just want to say it's amazing to serve a generous God who loves a generous bride, and can't say enough how grateful we are for the generosity of this church in so many different ways, and the things that we do for our community, whether it's backpack outreach, the flash drives that went to Africa, helping with the trip costs and all of those things, but definitely a great thing that the Lord is doing. So the good thing is I get to share with you part five, but what we did is we extended a week, so I've got part five, and Greg will be back, and he'll share part six. So we threw another week in there, and today I'm going to be talking about the God who speaks. One of the things I had the privilege, both in Uganda and Burundi, to be able to share more specifically than what we're going to talk about today, or differently, if you will, about the God who speaks. And one of the things that we came up against there was, you know, in Uganda, there's 52 kings. Each tribe has a king, and there's 52 tribes in Uganda, plus there's a president. I won't get into all of that. But so their perception of a king is a little different, I think, than most people. Their perception of a king is, you know, you can't go into his presence. You can't talk to him. He's just a moment away from getting mad and hitting you with something. And so their mindset is just run in there, throw a prayer request on the ground, and get out as fast as you can. And we know that's not the case with Jesus. Amen? And we know that because of what Jesus accomplished through the cross, we saw things like the veil being torn, letting us know that there's no priest needed. We have access to Jesus all the time, anytime. And we know that because of the finished work on the cross, he gets to speak to us. And so once we had that opportunity to kind of give a new perspective on Jesus and a new way to see the king in that light, it was awesome because at the end we had this soak time. And I think for some of the people, and there's a first time they've ever heard the Lord speak to them. And it was so sweet. The Lord gave me a couple of prophetic words for people in the room, and they were just undone. But it was so cool to see faces and eyes open all of a sudden, like, oh my gosh, I just heard something, you know, and then write it down and to see their excitement. So those are some of the things that we were up against, the same thing in Burundi, just a wrong perspective of the loving Father that we get to worship and to be able to communicate with. You know, as I'm talking today about the God who speaks, it's good news for us to know that he loves to speak with his children. If there's anything that I want to encourage you to walk away with this morning, that this awesome God in heaven who said, let there be light, who created the heavens and the earth, is the same God that wants to communicate with his children today. Isn't that good news? He loves to speak with us. And I've actually found that in my own personal journey, that he's speaking to me more than I realize. And we'll talk about that through today. But I want to share a couple scriptures before we get into our main one. So Isaiah 30, 21 says this, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. In John 10, he says, the one who enters the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from the stranger because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. And then also in John 8, the first part of 47, whoever belongs to God hears what God says. And so just in brief, we know that God speaks in multiple ways. He speaks in our hearts, and some people say a still small voice. He speaks in visions. He speaks in dreams. He speaks through God-ordained authorities. He speaks through peace or lack of peace. He speaks through circumstances. He speaks through the body in a lot of other ways. And so today what I want to do is I want to take a passage, a story out of Scripture involving Peter where we see the Lord speak to him. And then if it's okay with you, I want to transfer over to a couple stories in my life where I've seen the Lord speak to me and how amazing that has been. Honestly, I'm always blown away at the things that we face, the circumstances, the situations, and when we just take a moment to lean into the Lord, we just take a moment to settle our hearts and just listen to him, man, he speaks to us. He gives us direction. He encourages us, all of those things. And so today, that's one of the things we're going to look at. So we're going to look at Peter, and I'm going to start reading in Acts chapter 10. In verse 9, and we're going to read a little bit of scripture, but it'll be up here as well. But just talking about Peter's story, and one of the things I've realized about the Lord, he likes to speak in pictures. He loves to speak in pictures, and the beauty of it too is the way we're going to read, this is how he spoke to Peter. But I love the fact that he speaks to each one of us in the way that each one of us can understand. In other words, in this story, Peter was up on the roof praying. If you were up on the roof praying at this time, there might have been a different vision. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure there might have been a different vision. If I was up there, there would have been a different picture. Each one of us, because it's not about the picture, it's about the communication. And he so loves to communicate with us that he uses what's necessary to be able to do that. So what makes sense to me in some way or another, or will make sense, he uses that to speak to me. And it could be different for you. We're going to see with Peter that when the Lord showed him something, it took him a little while to understand. And sometimes when the Lord speaks to us, we get it immediately. And sometimes it's a process and it takes a couple other things down the road for it to come together until we go, oh my gosh, now I understand what's going on and what he's saying. But I think it's phenomenal that this, if there's ever somebody that can go, no, you need to learn it my way, it'd be God. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he goes, I so want to communicate that I'm going to use what you will be able to understand to communicate to you. If God tried to communicate to me through rocket science, yeah, thank you. Yeah. it's going to be a little tough go. I'm going to need an interpreter. I'm going to need all kinds of stuff. Are you with me? And so he's going to, I often see it as like he unzips our head, opens it up and looks inside and goes, okay, what do I got to work with? And just to make sure everyone knows, he never looks in there and goes, hello? Wow, this is going to be tough. You know, God doesn't do that. He looks, he sees the furnishings of your mind and what he can use to speak to you, and then he speaks accordingly. Isn't that good news? It's amazing. So let's look at Peter and what happened. So starting in verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. While the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He didn't do that. Excuse me. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners, and it contained all kinds of footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. And there we have the first burrito. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. You know, there's some big burritos out there. Do you guys ever? Sorry. Anyway, large sheet being left down. It's got all these animals in it and reptiles. The voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up, go downstairs, and don't hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I am the one you were looking for. Why have you come? I'm going to stop there for a second. So what happens is Peter goes up on the roof to pray. He goes up there to spend some time with the Lord. Says he fell into a trance and he saw this vision of this big sheet being let down with all kinds of animals that were called unclean. And the voice says, rise, kill, and eat. And he goes, no, I've never eaten any of those things. Those are unclean. And the Lord says, don't call anything unclean that I have said is clean. This happens three times. This is a major mind shift for Peter, because he's sitting there going, what in the world's going on? And as he's spending time trying to figure this out, I don't understand. Lord, what could you be saying? And it says that he's wondering about it. Then some guys show up, and then the Spirit says to him, hey, I sent these three guys, and you need to go with them. So then Peter comes down and says to them, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? So let's pick it up in verse 22. The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into his house to be his guest. And this is amazing because Peter is a Jew and the guests are Gentiles. So in this time, there wasn't supposed to be this mingling together. You weren't supposed to eat with them. You weren't supposed to have them in your house. It was just, it's them and then there's us. So Peter, coming off of this vision, goes to the door because the voice said, hey, I sent these guys, and he invites them into his house, which is a major no-no. And he doesn't only invite him into his house, but it says that he invited them into his house to be his guests. The implication is that they stayed the night at his house, because the very next verse starts with, the next day Peter started out with them. So these guys who are considered unclean by the Jews show up at a voice from heaven saying, I've sent them. He invites them in as guests, and then the next day they get started on their way. So we got to see, when he first gets this vision, he doesn't understand it. And as it's working out, there's three guys coming, and then there's three guys there. And in the back of his head, he could have been thinking, but these guys are Gentiles, but this is what the voice said. So he comes, hey, come with me, and then they go. Let me pick it up in verse 23. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived at Caesarea. Quick thing, it took him a little while to get there. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Continuing on, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. So you see what's happening here? Peter gets the vision, this thing that I've never done, I'm not going to eat any unclean, why would you show me that? Hey, there's three guys at the door, you need to go to their house. A couple doors later, he gets there, he goes in, he asks them, why have you sent for me? And they share, basically because the Lord said, you have something to share with us. And Peter's going, oh my gosh, I have the gospel to share with you. But isn't it interesting that a man didn't appear to Peter on the roof and said, Peter, hey, listen to me. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to send you to a guy named Cornelius. He's a Gentile. Don't worry about that. They're going to knock on the door any minute. I just need you to tell them the great news, the gospel of Jesus. Go. Isn't that a lot shorter than what we just read? You could probably say it in less words than I even just did, right? But for some reason, the Lord goes through this whole picture place, lets him wonder and all this stuff. Why? Because God knew that's how Peter would understand it. He knew if I do this and I show him this and I bring this in at this time and then I send him with them, he knew that's how Peter would understand. And I think that's amazing, because God so loves to communicate with us that he does what's necessary for us to understand, to hear his voice, and to move along the path that he puts before us. So in the next verse 44, moving down a little bit, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So it's this amazing story that we see Peter's in. He gets a vision, And then as he walks it out and he responds to the Lord, he gets to the end where he gets to see their whole family come to know Jesus, filled and baptized. What an amazing thing. And though we could have said there's such a shorter way to do this, we actually find that for Peter, this is how the Lord needed to speak to him. And for you and I bet you it would be a little different. Not wrong, just different, because God's into communicating to his children. Isn't that good news? So what I want to do now, besides clear my throat, which I'm struggling with, is I want to twist this a little bit to more of a personal aspect, if you're all right with that. Because part of what we want to do in this series is we want to say stories of an awesome God, both from Scripture, because that's pretty phenomenal. Everything changed. At this point, Gentiles now got brought into the picture. Because they had to go up to Jerusalem, and they go, what, you went to a Gentile? You did what? And there was like, and there's a little arguing, and you can't do that, you know that. But they got filled with the Spirit. And they were like, they got filled with what? You know, and so it brought this communication. Someone looks back and goes, hey, there's a Scripture here that says it's even for the Gentiles. Oh my gosh, it's time now for them to receive as well. So all of this started with Peter receiving a vision. And in his attempt to understand, the Lord led him on a path. And aren't we glad he did? So I want to turn this into a little bit more personal. And I told you some of the ways that God speaks. But what I want to bring into the equation is this is how I've seen the Lord speak in my life. This is how I've experienced him speaking to me. And in the areas I want to share, these three of them, I believe he wants to speak to you in those same ways. So number one, he's the God who speaks in soaking. The God who speaks in soaking. Now, you might not know what soaking is, so let me tell you. You find a hot tub. No, I'm just kidding. It's not that at all. Soaking is time when you set aside for any length where you decide to pull aside, and I'm going to focus my attention on the Lord. The way I do it is I might put on some music. I put on a song. I just clear my mind, and I spend time with the Lord. When I envision Peter on the roof, that's what I envision him doing. Pulled away to pray, just to sit there. And sometimes I ask the Lord, I say, Lord, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to speak to me? Or if I have a certain situation, I ask the Lord, hey, what do I do with this? We have conversation because we serve a God of relationships, amen? And he wants to have relationship with us. He wants to communicate and talk with us. And so this soaking for me is a way that I have found, my family has found, is a good way to connect with the Lord. I do it personally. Like in personal time, when I have a time here or there, I just, at my desk, sometimes in the car. If you're in the car, don't shut your eyes. But just various places. And then my wife and I do it together. We do it with our family. We'll pull together, and we'll just spend time soaking, inquiring of the Lord to speak to us about something. Well, this in particular time that I want to share with you is it was right after we had a missional community conference here at Northlands where Peter Rasmussen was here. And he was talking about being on mission. And as Michelle and I were talking, we're like, wow, you know, we can see our kids on mission. You know, one of my daughters was playing softball, and so she had the opportunity to invite some friends to church, and they both gave their life to the Lord. And there's people that Michelle knew that she was, you know, trying to be missional towards, and myself. But we didn't do anything as a family, and we just felt like maybe what the Lord was saying was it's time for us to be missional as a family. So we were like, how should we do this? So we decided, hey, I'll tell you what, why don't we get together one evening and let's just soak in the presence of the Lord with our whole family and let's just share with them what we're thinking and then let's put it before the Lord. So that's what we did. So we soaked for I don't know how many minutes and then I turned the music down and I said, so, you know, did anybody hear anything from the Lord? And I explained to them what we were doing and my youngest daughter, Caitlin, she rose her hand. She goes, I feel like I had something from the Lord. And I go, yeah, what is it? She goes, I feel like the Lord said I'm supposed to go to Providence Christian Academy. And so I thought, well, that's great, but we're praying about being missional. We're not praying about going to Christian school. We're trying to be missional as a family. I can't go to Providence, so that's great. But that was kind of my, don't judge me. You know, we think like that sometimes, you know. So that was kind of my thought process where I was like, oh, that's cool. Maybe we can come back to that. So anybody else have anything? You know, a couple things shared. And so then my wife and I kind of talked to Katie, was like, hey, so what are you feeling? She goes, I don't know. I just really feel like the Lord said I'm supposed to go to Providence Christian Academy. And we knew it as a Christian school. We'd been kind of looking at some schools and what was the next step for Caitlin. And so You know, we had decided that anytime our kids come with a word, they go, I feel like the Lord said this, both from experience of them being very accurate, but also just wanting to show them, I appreciate when you try to hear from the Lord. So whatever you bring, we're going to look to. So the next day, the next Monday came around, I said, you know what, I'm going to call the school and just ask some things. And, you know, I've heard that it's a little expensive. So, you know, I don't know if this is something we can afford, but if it's of the Lord, he's going to make a way, right? So we called him and I said, hey, you know, talking to them on the phone. And the person I got to speak with was such a huge help. It was great conversation. And I remember, you know, they're telling me about the school. I'm kind of like, yeah, but how much is it? You know, that's where I went. How much is it? You know? And so they're like, well, there's different ways. How much is it? You know? And so finally they say, well, it's X amount of dollars. And I was like, oh, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. But that's not going to work for us. We just can't afford that. Do you have like a pastoral discount or anything? Someone in ministry? And she said, well, actually, no, because everyone's in ministry in some way. And so the majority of the parents that come, they say, hey, I'm in a ministry. Can you give a discount? So if you are, we give 10%. And I said, does that mean I only have to pay 10% of what you shared with me? She said, no, we'll discount 10, you pay 90. And I said, oh, well, in that case, thank you so much for your time. And that's the way, but I had already told her about our soaking time and how Caitlin had heard from the Lord. And she said, well, hang on a second. You know, if the Lord, you know, spoke to your daughter and this is what she's supposed to do, he's going to make a way. And I was like, yeah, I was just about to say that. You know, I was just about to say the same thing. So we're just looking at options and stuff. And I was like, hey, I appreciate this, but, you know, unless God provides, it's not going to happen. And so, long story short, we were talking about it and how can this happen and how can we pull this together. And so then at one, I think I got off the phone, talked to Michelle, and we were talking through it, and we're just like, I just can't see financially unless the Lord provides it. So we told Caitlin, if the Lord provides, you know, then we'll go. And so I kind of called her back to say what I've been saying all along. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate getting to know you, maybe next year. And so she said, hey, how open are you to things? And I said, well, what do you mean? And she goes, have you ever thought about an international student? And all of a sudden I had a heart, no. So I was like, what do you mean? You can explain that to me. And so she began to say, there are people in other countries that want their children to have an education here in the United States. And the two things they ask for is they want them to go to a private school. And secondly, they want them in a Christian home. And I really felt like, wow, what a testimony that other people who aren't believers that send their kids, they go, I want them in a Christian home because if they're in a Christian home, I know they're going to be loved and they're going to be cared for. And I said, so explain this to me. And basically in the course of conversation, she said, well, if you take one of the international students, it actually covers your tuition. It works out to where it covers your tuition. And then it's like the light went off for me. Now I know that for our family to be missional, if she goes to this school, there's an international student that doesn't know the Lord yet who gets to be in our home, and we get to extend the love of Christ. And all of a sudden it hit me. Oh my gosh, that's missional. So what looked like it wasn't going to be missional turned into being. And so if you haven't met him, he's not here today, but there's a young man named Jason who lives with us, and he just started his second year with us. And man, we're really looking forward to what the Lord does in his life. But regardless, we're going to love him as a family. We're going to include him in the things that we do. And we're looking forward to a great testimony and what the Lord does. But it's all of that started with us just pulling our family together and saying, let's just spend a few moments soaking in the presence of God and let's ask him how he wants us to do this. Cool? So that was number one. That's my first story. So my second story. So that was the God who speaks in soaking. The second one is the God who speaks about direction. He's the God who speaks about direction. And this is kind of twofold. When we were in Burundi, we weren't allowed to enter into Burundi originally. We got to the gate. We had our tickets. We had everything we had. I had photocopies of photocopies of photocopies. to make sure that we didn't get held up. And when we got to the ticket counter, they said, we can't let you on the flight. I said, why not? And she said, because you have the wrong visa. Now, I had photocopies that it was the right visa where it said what it did, but regardless of what it said, we had the wrong visa. It was impossible for us to get it right then and there to be able to take the plane. And so I said, what can we do? And she's like, you have to go to the embassy. So we missed our flight. We missed the first day of the conference. And when we went to the embassy to get the information, honestly, after the first 5 minutes there, I said, okay, we're not going to Burundi. Because they basically said, no, it takes 7 to 10 days to process this. And I looked at Greg, and we were both like, I don't think we're going to Burundi, which is odd, because there's hundreds of pastors over there waiting. So we were trying to, hey, what, Lord, what's going on, and lean into him. And over the course of about 10 minutes, everything shifted. And then they said, well, maybe we could do this. And then if you pay this, you could do that. And the next thing you know, we had our visas. They stamped our passport. We ran over and got our tickets changed. We ran over to the airport, and we took off and on our way to Burundi. So when we got to Burundi, it was a matter of, okay, we just missed a day, so how are we going to make up, you know, three sessions in one less day? So get ready for the fire hose, you know, everyone buckle up, here it comes. So we spent some time just sitting back and saying, okay, Lord, how do you want to do this? Which ones do we speak about, which ones don't? And we pulled some out and changed the way we approached it, but it was amazing to watch how we leaned into God. He gave us direction. But the story I wanted to tell you about personally for me was the story of when the Lord spoke to Michelle and I both about what we were supposed to do. I was leading a church just outside of Houston, Texas, and great things were happening. The church was growing. We're really excited about what God was doing. And we were in a season where every time we sought the Lord and said, okay, Lord, what do you want to do this year? He'd always give us a sentence or a word. This is what I want you to focus on. And so we were excited about it. It was probably February or March in the year. We sat down and said, okay, Lord, what's next? What's for us in this next season? And literally, excuse me, it was like crickets. It was nothing. So we got done with our soaking time, and I said, babe, did you hear anything? And she was like, no, not really, did you? And I said, no. So we're like, hey, we'll do this, and then we'll come back. So we kept coming back, and literally, we're getting nothing. The Lord wasn't saying anything about what we were supposed to do. And our question was, Lord, give us a word for our church and where we're headed and what we're doing. And there was nothing. It's like crickets. So Michelle and I were like, oh, what's going on? And so then in a personal time, I was praying, and the Lord asked me, he said, what if I told you that it was time for you to go? And so I was like, nah, that wasn't the Lord. I got to re-chase, you know, got to get the frequency right. But it was the Lord. He was saying, what if I was going to tell you it was time for you to go? And first inclination, you're like, well, Lord, I'll go wherever you lead me, but is that what you're saying? You know, is this time to go? Because it didn't seem, all the circumstances and the things we were experiencing, it really didn't seem like it was time for us to go. It felt like it was time to dig in and send roots and really get moving. And so we spent time praying about it. We actually reached out to a few of our friends that lived internationally in different areas and said, hey, would you guys pray with us on this? We're really trying to figure out this season, and is it actually time for us to leave? So two of them got back to us, and they were great words, but it was a little like, you know, we feel like it might be time, you know, but I feel like the Lord's going to send you clear confirmation, and so it was kind of up in the air. So then we had an opportunity to come to a conference here at Northlands, and I said, oh, this would be good. There's a bunch of prophetic people there, so someone surely will tell us what the Lord's speaking about what we're supposed to do. Phenomenal conference. Had great prophetic words, walked out in such great peace and excited, but guess what was the one thing that no one ever said anything about? What we were supposed to do ministry-wise. And so when we got back, we decided, hey, let's fast and pray and really say, Lord, is there a different question we should be asking? Just really lean into the Lord. And so a couple that we were trying to get a hold of that we kept missing, I finally got a hold of them. And I said, hey, did you guys hear from the Lord? And she said, kind of. And I said, what do you mean kind of? And she goes, well, I did, but I haven't wanted to tell you because I was afraid you'd get mad. So I was like, okay, how bad is this, right? I'm like, what do you mean? And she said, well, I felt like the Lord told me that you're definitely leaving. But she said, but the place you're going, you won't be leading. And I said, well, why do you think I'd get mad at that? She said, I don't know, you've led churches up to this point. And I said, look, I'm happy with what the Lord does. What she didn't know is for me personally, I felt like that was my better strength position. to be an associate, to be along somebody else, and to help them move forward. And so she told me this, and so we got off the phone, and I said, you know, I know one other friend we should call and just ask him to pray with us. And so I called Greg Haswell here at this church, and I called him, and I said, hey, Greg, it's Tom. I have something I want to share with you. I said, is this a good time? He goes, yeah, I was in a meeting, but I just stepped out. And I said, oh, okay, what's going on? And I said, you know, Michelle and I are feeling like our time here in Texas is up, but we're kind of being cautious about this because we're not sure where we're supposed to go. And I'm wondering if you would pray with us because we feel like it's time to go. I have no idea where to start. I don't even know where to go. And it was quiet like that on the phone. And I was like, Greg? He's like, yeah, I'm here. And I was like, okay, so would you be praying? Yeah, I'll pray with you and talk with you. Okay, great, bye. I hang up and Michelle goes, what did Greg say? I go, I'm not sure. I don't know if he was upset or happy or it just, maybe I caught him at a bad time, you know. And so 2 days later, he called me. Now, that was my side of the conversation. So let me give you Greg's side of the conversation. So Greg was meeting with some people, some leadership, and they were talking about it's time to hire somebody. And so they were talking about who they could possibly hire on staff. And someone asked them, well, who would you guys hire? And they said, well, they wouldn't come because they're leading something. And they said, well, who is it? And he said, Tom and Michelle Borsig. And right when that happened, his phone rang, and he looked down at the phone, and it was me calling him. So I said to him, hey, so the Lord's been speaking to me. And so explain the little pause, right? Explain the pause. And so he called me back a couple days later, and he goes, I need to let you know what happened. I said, yeah, what's going on? He said, when you called me and he shared what was going on, I covered the phone, and I looked at Michelle, and I said, we're moving to Atlanta. And then we finished talking, and we decided, hey, let's pray together. When the Lord speaks, you know that you know. Yeah. With me on that. That was one of those moments I was like, we start packing today. Somehow, some way, we're going to Atlanta. I don't know all the details, but I can't miss this one. It's time for us to move to Atlanta. And so we came out and met with the elders, and it was a great connection. You know, we had talked back and forth, and so that was probably around November-ish, and then we moved here the end of January, and I came on staff here at Northlands. Just an amazing thing to allow God to share that direction. Remember what I said, like Peter gets the vision? It took several days before he got to the place of Cornelius' house to where it really, he said, and now I understand why I saw that. Now I understand all of this stuff, and now I can see. Sometimes it's the same thing. For us, we were just seeking the Lord. There's timing. There's all these aspects that we don't always know. I don't know why we missed the flight to Burundi. I don't know why we weren't there the first day. Personally, it doesn't even matter. We got there. We shared what we needed to. And it was a phenomenal time with lots of fruit. So the same with this. When we were looking for direction from the Lord, we just leaned into him. We said, Lord, what does this mean? What does this look like? And then he finally brought it around. I was so convinced that we were moving to Atlanta that when I came and met with the elders, someone said, so do you really feel like the Lord spoke about you moving? I said, oh yeah, I'm fully convinced. And I said, actually, if it doesn't work out for me being on staff at the church, I'm still moving here. I'll attend Northlands and then the Lord will provide a job. And then one of the elders jumped up and he said, oh, so you already know everything and now you're just waiting for us to catch up. And I said, no, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that at all. I'm just so confident this is where the Lord's called me to be that whether this is where I get my employment or it's another way, I'm supposed to be here. I can't deny that. And like I said, so we moved, you know, a couple months later and came a part of this wonderful family here. And it was all through listening and pressing in to the Lord. Again, starting with soaking time, asking the Lord specifically for direction, and then finally asking him, is there another question we should be asking? Sound good? Are you good with these stories? Okay. So the third one and the last one that I want to share with you is this. He's the God who speaks about his love. He's the God who speaks about his love. I am always continually overwhelmed. It happened to me this morning when we were singing that I'm surrounded. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. What a total different perception it gives you when you're facing something difficult. You know, when Elijah's servant ran out of the tent and he saw the armies of the living God surrounding them, and he ran back in basically going, Elijah, we're going to die. And then Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes. And then when he looks again, he sees the chariots of the Lord surrounding them. What a different perspective. And I was reminded even in worship this morning, you know, it may look a certain way, but don't forget what's surrounding that. It may look like there's a circumstance or a trial that's gigantic. Just look over its head and see the God who's the God of every circumstance. I mean, it's just so amazing. So I want to talk a little bit about the God who speaks about his love. Because all through Scripture, it's why he sent Jesus. It's the best thing that we can tell other people is how much God loves us, the good news, all of that stuff. And it always amazes me how I'm reading Scripture and looking at things, and I continually hear and see the Lord speaking about his love. So this story that I want to share with you goes back to the 80s, way back when the Earth's crust was still cooling, right? And I was dating Michelle, who's now my wife, and neither of us were believers. We were kind of doing our thing. I was a drummer in a rock band. Yes, long hair, the whole thing. You know, it was the 80s, that's what you did. We were just kind of going through life. And there came a time when my band and I every year would go away to a beach, and we'd write music for the gigs that we had coming up. And so this was just that time where it was time to go and hang out at the beach and write music and do other stuff people shouldn't do. And so Michelle and I were talking, and she was like, gosh, I don't want to stay home while you're gone. And so she was invited by somebody to attend a church camp. And, you know, for her, I think it was like, hey, it's better than staying home, and so I'll go with you. And so she goes to this church camp. So I come back, and we're greeting each other. How was your experience? Oh, it was great. How was yours? Oh, it was great. We wrote this many songs. We also got this new gig. And so we're just so excited about this. But I couldn't help but notice there was something radically different about Michelle. And so I just, you know, wrote it down as, oh, she's just really happy to see me. That's what it was, you know. And so she said, there's something I need to tell you. And I said, oh, what is it? She goes, I gave my life to Jesus this week. And a little bit of background, I was wearing a black tank top with the neon word me. Because it really was all about me. And I remember she said, I gave my life to Jesus. And the first thing I said is, don't you think you should have asked me first? I mean, I am the boyfriend, right? That's how my brain was then. And she unfolded what happened and how the Lord met her. And there was such peace on her that I'd never seen. There were so many things that moment after moment, I was like, where's Michelle? What have you done with her? There was such a dramatic transformation. Forgiveness extended to people that I knew she hated. Peace over her. A joy that I had never seen before. I was so intrigued by this, I couldn't, you know, help. And because it was all about me, I thought, well, I should probably go with her to visit this church just in case it's a cult. Since I wasn't a churchgoer, I would know those kind of things. So, but I was so intrigued by the transformation. So we pulled up to the church, and I had stopped. I was, in those days, I drove a 66 Mustang. Yeah, nice, missed that car. I pulled up to the church, you know how that works. And Michelle said, hey, let me out here. And so she got out and started running up the stairs of the church. And I looked to the top, and at the top of the stairs was a young woman that, I think it's safe for me to say, Michelle disliked. Like, there were other times when she'd see her, and I would literally have to hold her back from going to fight her. Yeah, she runs our children's ministry, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. So I get out of the car. I start running because I'm like, you don't do this kind of thing at a church. And I'm running up the stairs, and I get halfway up looking, and they're hugging and jumping in a circle. And I get up, and I remember just going, what in the world is going on? And she goes, I'll explain it later. And I was like, I'm going to park my car. And so I got in my car, I drove down, found a parking spot, and I just sat there. And I was like, what in the world is going on? I mean, this is a totally different person. I don't even know what to think. I don't, you know, she's saying this is God. My experience was very minimal, and the church I had visited asked me to sit in the back because I had long hair and hang out where the babies were, and you couldn't hear there anyway. So, but here I am, and so I remember sitting there, and I had that feeling like everything is about to change as I know it. So I walked in, and everyone loved me. No one treated me weird because of my hair. I felt like I was just like one of the group, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, this is like a family. The love they were expressing to me, the love that Michelle was expressing and sharing about Jesus. And I met the youth pastor. He'd come visit me at my work, and I remember looking at him and go, why do you come here? I'm like, I don't get this. Like, I looked at him, and I go, why do you come to my work? Because I worked at a gag shop, costume shop. If you know what I'm talking about, you fill in all the blanks. I'm not going to give you those. That's where he's, and he'd come visit me. It's the last place I'd think I'd see a pastor, right? And one day I just asked him, I said, why do you come here and visit me? And he goes, because one day you're going to give your life to the Lord, and I'm hoping I get to take you there. And I remember looking at him and going, that's not happening. You're scaring me, man. You need to go, you know. But so I'm sitting there. I go through. I'm loved by this community, overwhelmed. And I'm sitting there going, the only thing I want to make sure is that I'm not doing this just because I want relationship with Michelle. So I took a little bit longer. But there came the point when I was just being so overwhelmingly loved by Jesus through other people, I couldn't take it anymore. And I said, if he can transform her life, then he can transform mine. And I gave my life to the Lord. Yeah. His love is amazing. That's part of what was overwhelming this morning. Because I find myself continually in that place where I go, Lord, who am I? And what is my family that you have brought me this far? And if that wasn't enough, you've spoken about my future. Like David said, it's just amazing to me that the love the Father has for us in that way. So he's the God that loves to speak about his love for us. He loves to remind you. He loves to tell you. He loves to show you scriptures and help you see stories and all of this stuff to remind you of how much he loves you. So I want to close with this today. If what I'd love for you to walk away with in this story of an awesome God, whether you've experienced this or not, whether you never have, we're in a relationship with a God who loves to speak. He speaks through all of those things we talked about, scripture. He guides you. He directs you. He loves. He loves it so much that he does it in the best way that you can understand. May require faith. It may require digging because he loves that relationship so much. But he's the God who speaks. So what I want to end with today is this. We have a few minutes to do this. I want to know if you'd be okay if we just went into just a few minutes of soaking. I'm going to ask the sound guys to put on some soft music in the back. And whether you do this regularly or this is a first for you, I'd love for you to just, in your seat, get comfortable. Take out a piece of paper. I use my phone because it's always with me, and I have a ton of notes where I write this down. And I'm going to give you three questions, and I just want you to ask one of these three questions to the Lord in this time. And what we'll do is, in a moment, you just close your eyes, just clear your mind, and ask one of these questions to the Lord. As I said, I do this sometimes personally with my wife, wherever. But it's amazing in his desire how quick. Now, with that in mind, I want to say something. The one who speaks always expresses their nature. And what I mean by that is this. If it's kind, if it's encouraging, if it's lifting you up, if it's expressions of love, it's probably 99% from the Lord, Jesus. because that's what he wants to do. And the scripture says, now there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So if it's condemning, if it's accusing, if it's causing shame or fear, that's not the Lord. Who is it? It's the enemy. You can disregard those things. So when we go into this soaking time, especially this your first time, we go, you know, I spoke with someone after first service, and they go, you know, I struggle sometimes because I feel like I'm not sure if it's the Lord or not. I said, you know, in James it says that he gives generously to all without finding fault. There aren't these, if you're in Christ, the Lord wants to speak to you. And for me, before I even knew Jesus, I was wooed by the Holy Spirit. Amazing. So there aren't blocked, yeah, I messed up last week. That doesn't keep you from hearing God's voice. Well, you know, I haven't been talking to him recently. It doesn't keep you from hearing his voice. We've all said this, you know, when you walk away and you turn around, you bump into him because he's right there. So I want to encourage you with this today. In just a moment, I'll share these three. I want you to just pick one. Then I want you to ask the Lord to speak to you about that. Close your eyes, relax, and write down whatever he says. The three questions are this. Number one would be, how do you see me? Just ask the Lord, how do you see me? The second question could be, how do you see my spouse? Ask the Lord to tell you about your spouse. The third one could be, how do you see my children? If you ask the spouse or children one, I would encourage you at another time, maybe share it with them, especially if it's encouraging and uplifting and building, because you know that's from the Lord. So one of those three, I just want you to ask the Lord this morning. If you don't want to ask one of those, just ask the Lord to speak to you about something and write down what he says. Are we all okay with this? I'm just going to do this for a couple minutes. So I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes, come before the Lord in this moment. They'll turn up this music, and let's just soak for a little while. Father, thank you so much for your kindness. Thank you for the truth that you love to speak to us. You love to speak to your children just like we like to speak to our children. Father, thank you for an opportunity to hear from you. And Lord, I pray this would encourage us to draw back to this place often, to hear from you. Not always to bring a request, but even sometimes just to say, Lord, what do you want to say? Just to foster that relationship with you. Lord, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In first service, after our soaking time, I had a word for someone. And I feel like I got a word for, there could be multiple people in this word, in here, but if you are in the midst of a job transition, you know, going from one thing to the next, or a job ended, or you're in that process, could you just stand for a minute, if you don't mind me asking? Maybe so bold, you're in that transition. So this is interesting, because this is what the Lord told me. And at first I was trying to figure out who it was for, and I felt like the Lord said it's for everybody. But I feel like God is going to use this transition and the next job that he has you into, or the next business he has you walk into, he's going to use it as a platform to encourage other people. I think you're going to find a lot of encouragement through this. And I felt like, watch what the Lord's going to do in the next couple weeks. There's going to be doors that you didn't expect open to open. Watch for unexpected doors, because that's going to be a sign to you that that this is what he's doing, that he's behind the shift in this business. I'm not saying he made it happen or however it happened. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But I feel like this transition you're in is the Lord's using it to encourage other people. And doors you didn't expect to open are going to open. And it's just going to pave a way. He's a way maker, amen? And that's going to be a sign to you to remind you that he's with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So, Father, we just pray for those that are in this season of transition. That, Father, you are the one we gain strength from. You are the one we gain direction from. You are the one that speaks and tells us, the voice behind us saying, this is the way, now walk in it. And Father, I pray for every single person that stood, would you do an amazing work in the midst of their jobs? Would many people be encouraged, not just our body, but people that in the new position, in the old position, may there just be a slew of encouragement, and especially to them. And God, I pray for these doors, these unexpected doors that just are like blown wide open, that help them see what you're wanting to accomplish through this situation. And so we just bless them and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.